everyone. This is Young Man the Prophet podcast. I'm its host, Matthew Espenlaub. This is going to be my 10th episode. Today, I want to speak on salvation, about the gifts of the Spirit, and also about the rapture and what is the purpose of it. The church world today, as a whole, is completely blind to what God is doing in this hour. They have no clue. You know, you have all these different forms of gospels and doctrines and schools of theology and prosperity preaching and all these different ideas of who they claim God is when none of it is correct. They claim that they are bringing forth the kingdom of God when really, in reality, they are bringing forth the kingdom of this world and perfecting the flesh. And they don't even know it. They have no clue. They've been deceived into doing these things. And so this is what this episode today is going to be on, and getting into the nuts and bolts of God's salvation and what he is doing in this hour, and to expose the darkness that blankets this world, and most definitely the United States of America. You know, we have this Christian nation, supposedly, that is made up of countless denominations and beliefs of the scriptures and who Jesus Christ is and who God is. And they bicker amongst themselves. They are in confusion in what God is doing. And so in order to deal with this stuff, they continuously heap upon themselves works of this world so that it brings some type of satisfaction to their soul and comfort to them, even though they are still in their sin. One of the main doctrines today that is being preached is this prosperity preaching. You know, is completely wrong. It is literally the very opposite of what a born-again Christian should be experiencing in this first creation at this moment. All right, so let's get into this. I'm going to talk about the prosperity gospel. So this is what is preached today. The prosperity gospel is that Jesus Christ, he has died on the cross, he has suffered a sinner's death, and so, because he has, we no longer now need to experience this. Any type of physical ailments that come on the scene, then whether we need healing in our physical bodies, whether we need financial help, or whether we're dealing with depression or whatever it may be, we, by the preaching of this prosperity gospel, don't need to experience these things. We've been freed from it. We shouldn't suffer anymore in this life. Now, that in itself sounds good. It sounds similar to what the scriptures talk about, but it is so far from the truth. We are called to suffer in this world. This is the point of this first creation. There is going to be nothing but sufferings. If we're not suffering, then something ain't right, because this is how we are perfected in our own personal walk with the Lord. We must experience our helplessness and powerlessness. We must be without strength at times, so that God can come in and rescue us out of these times. You know, this is to happen, this whole first life that we experience. There isn't a time that we're not going to experience these things. Now, the first church, obviously, they experienced a measure of the Spirit of the Lord as a lion and were able to live a life that was free from doing anything of the flesh, almost anything. You know, they no longer did the wicked works that they used to do. Now, they didn't suffer because of their sin, but they suffered because of the world coming against them. And in that suffering is where God perfected them. Paul talks about it in the scriptures. We have it in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, where it says that, you know, you can have all these gifts of the Spirit, and yet if you don't have charity, then none of it matters. The reason why this prosperity preaching is so prevalent and so delicious to taste of is because it's pleasing to the flesh. You know, your flesh is healed of sickness. You have riches. You have everything going for you in this life. You are conquering this kingdom. Jesus never called us to conquer this kingdom. He actually did the very opposite. That's what the Jews wanted him to do. The Jews wanted him to come on the scene and, as a king, conquer this kingdom. And he didn't do it. The very opposite happened. He actually was put to death. That is the gospel. It's not about this kingdom. There's a second kingdom that we are inheriting, not this kingdom, but the next kingdom. And so that's what Paul was talking about, this charity thing. The reason why these prosperity preachers don't have it is because they are still in their sin. They haven't experienced a born-again experience. And the reason why they haven't experienced it is because they have rejected the Lord when he came on the scene back in the 1930s and 40s and showed to the world who he is. I'm going to go off subject here for just a second. So what's the point of the Protestant Reformation? It is to protest the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church was in deep in sin. It was in darkness. For 1,000 years, the church was in darkness. Well, the Protestant Reformation was to come out of that. This is God waking up his elect within his church to come out of this darkness. And who did he first do it through? Martin Luther. The just shall live by faith. That was the first thing. He restored that. He also restored predestination. John Calvin and Knox. You know, then he goes on 200 years later and through John Wesley, you know, John Wesley walking in the truth of his hour, he believed that just shall live by faith, but something was missing. He knew something was missing. He didn't have this love towards others, and it's because he wasn't sanctified yet. So the first part, Martin Luther, was justification. John Wesley was sanctification. Now, because he believed in the just shall live by faith, that caused a experience within his heart to be sanctified. It started to separate his sin from his spirit. And so now, within his heart, there was a joy welling up, and he was able to now go forward and preach this. Then we have, at the turn of the century, the Pentecostal movement, Azusa Street Revival. At this time is where God restored the gifts of the Spirit. So you have these three major movements. You have the justification, the sanctification, and the return of the power of the Holy Ghost. You know, to show us that we are to experience all three of these things. This is what we are heading to in the sense of receiving a glorified body. You have to experience these things. Now, that was all good and dandy at the turn of the century, 1900s, but it still wasn't enough. And that's where God came on the scene in and through a man by the name of William Branham. And it is through William Branham that God really started to show himself that he was not a Trinity God. He was one God, and he worked in and through different offices of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. You know, and this is what, through Brother Branham, was restored. And also, Brother Branham continued on. He had a great healing ministry, but the healing part is just to attract. It's not about that. It is about getting to the core of it, which is one needs to be released from their sin and be a pure of heart. You know, this is what happened. Brother Branham came on the scene, had a great healing ministry. I mean, tremendous. You go look on the internet and you will see this. But what happened was that healing part went away, and he started to sit down and now preach the truth of who God is. He was able to begin to reveal what the book of Revelation was about. Because we are in these end times, we need to know these things. God is coming back, and that's what Brother Branham was showing. He was showing the revelation of what these seals were that sealed this scroll of redemption. You know, each seal that was pulled down through time. You know, we are in the hour of the 5th, 6th, and 7th seal. So when Brother Branham went off the scene, then you had a man by the name of Raymond Jackson. You know, he continued with this. The Spirit of the Lord was upon him, and he was able to break down things even more and to really focus this in on Israel. You know, and he's also passed off the scene too. My point of saying these things is the church world refused to listen to Brother Branham, and especially Brother Jackson. You know, they want nothing to do with that. They want to hold on to their Trinity doctrine, which the Trinity doctrine came forth back in the Nicaea Council back in 300 AD, where the Roman Church at that time, by Constantine, they were bickering. They had two versions of who God is. Either he's one God or he was three gods in one. And so the council ruled at that time that he was three gods in one. Well, what happened after that? You had 1,000 years of darkness. So if that was really God, then why was there nothing but darkness for 1,000 years after that? You know, why was there so much killing going on? You know, these are things that a person who's not caught up in this religious spirit of this hour can see these things. You know, and so this is what the church world in the 1930s and 40s and 50s could not receive from William Branham. They continued on in this Trinity doctrine. And so what happened? God sent them a strong delusion that they would believe a lie, and he would give them power to perform works that would make them believe that they are walking in the truth. That's what a delusion is. This is what they have been doing. This is what the prosperity, this is the fruit of it, is this prosperity preaching. You know, they actually perform these things and they get results. And so they are really enthralled in this, that this is the Spirit of the Lord speaking in tongues, all these different things, saying this is the evidence and all this stuff, when they have no clue that they're being led into a delusion. So this prosperity preaching, you know, why is it so attractive? Why is it that the healing of one flesh, when the flesh is going to die at some point, why is it that it's still so attractive, that this is what we covet after, that the church world covets after these things? They covet after riches, when this worldly system itself is going to be destroyed. Why are we coveting after this physical realm that by the Lord Jesus Christ himself showed to us when he died on a cross, he put this physical body to death. It showed that this was not what it was about, that it had to be put to death, destroyed. Whereas this prosperity preaching is saying, no, it doesn't. We can prosper in this life. You know, they speak on this, that there's power in the tongue, that what you say shall come to pass. Oh, really? Is that how it is? So what you're saying, no matter what you can say, you believe that it will come to pass? No, it's not how it is. This is not a law of the spiritual realm that you sow a seed and it produces. You know, on the surface, it may seem like that, but it's not how it is at all. God's in control of everything. No matter what man says that he can do, it is God who is in control, and he will do as he does, period. God has no roles in what he does. There's only one role to him, that he's God and we're his creation, and he's going to cause us to experience that truth, that he is God, and that we can't create unless he deems it so. And so this law of you speak and it'll come to pass as you desire it in your heart, it's nothing but a lie. It is to form a kingdom based upon mankind's desires to go forward and conquer this world so that they themselves are on this pedestal as being, look at us, we are righteous. Same thing the Pharisees did. You know, all this stuff that they do is, it is a law unto themselves. They're caught in a snare. You think about it. If you're sick, what did you do? You're not doing it right then. If you're not producing Mercedes-Benz and jets and stuff like that and living in, you know, $500,000 homes or whatever the case may be, then you're not doing something right. What's wrong with you? And they're caught in this snare. This is a law that they have produced, and it keeps them in prison. There's no freedom in what they have. They have to follow this law. In Almighty God, there is nothing but freedom and rest. I don't have to do any of that stuff. It's going to come to pass. You know, I own all of this stuff. I own this physical realm and the spiritual realm. This is my inheritance. But the purpose in this physical realm must be shown, must be known in a person's heart, that this is not what it's about, that this whole physical realm was set up as a sacrifice, so that we could be perfected in this, and that at some point this whole physical realm is going to be destroyed. Why? Because this physical realm came to pass because of Lucifer in the very beginning. It is his creation. He has created all this physical substance. It needs to be dealt with. But for the time being, God is using this physical substance to perfect us. And he has a process, a periods of time that he does these things. The Old Testament was a process till Jesus Christ came on the scene. And when he experienced the powerlessness of being in hell for 3 days, and he couldn't do nothing himself to get out of that separation from God, he experienced that it was the Creator, God himself, that had all power. And when the time came for him to resurrect out of that, then he experienced the release from this first creation, and he received the glorified body. For 2,000 years, Jesus Christ has been doing this. He's been creating individuals. none of us have experienced the full release yet from this physical realm. For 2,000 years, seven church ages, the elect have passed away. They have died in this physical realm. And they have gone into heaven, into a place where they wait for the full, complete work of Jesus Christ's salvation. You know, and this is the hour we're living in for that to happen. The church world has no clue. They don't even know any of this stuff. They don't even understand about the rapture and what is the purpose of all this stuff. They just think that we're just going to, and this is what they preach, that we are going to rule and reign here in this physical realm. And it's true, but not according to what they're saying. What they're saying is we are going to take over this physical realm. They see no need for the spiritual realm to be cleansed first, which is what Jesus Christ is doing. He is creating us, the church ages, the saints for the past 2,000 years, so that we can go forward and clean this spiritual realm. Jesus Christ hasn't done it. He can't do it because his work was to produce the one work that was going to free all of us who are trapped in sin, who have been worshiping Satan and his angels. Jesus never worshiped them. So he has never produced a work that is joined with any of Lucifer and his angels. We have. So in other words, he can't remove them. We can. This is the greater work. He has produced the one work that frees us. What we are experiencing now, we're experiencing the freedom from our sin, that we are overcoming all of Satan. And it is by this work that we're going to go forward and remove him from the spiritual realm. This is what the rapture is about, you know, and they have no clue, this church world. So when Paul talks about the gifts of the Spirit and what love is, the truth is there is only one evidence of being born again, true evidence, and that is your heart is freed. It's called the forgiveness of sin. The forgiveness of sin is not just some cute cliche that Jesus Christ speaks of, or Paul or any of the apostles speak of. There is a work that happens. The forgiveness of sin, and there's power. It empowers our spirit to take of what we have already produced of this natural realm, of this fallen state, and to destroy it, to undo it. And the undoing of this creates a new man. This is what the true forgiveness is. This is what the charity is. When the circumcision will come on the scene, the Jews that were preaching the law, this is where he would battle them at. Well, you say you have it. Well, let's see. And Paul would say, I have it. I have a pure of heart. You know, my disciples are my witness. They themselves have experienced this change. None of the Jews at that time experienced that on that side of the circumcision that preached the law. And it's the same thing today. You have all these people, all the Christian world, they all have these laws set up. Oh, you got to be this way. You got to be that way. You got to do this. You got to do that. All these laws, they preach this. They don't preach the freedom from their sin. They preach this law. I'm preaching the freedom from sin. They don't have it. I'm telling you they don't have it. And so this pureness of heart is our evidence. The rest of the stuff, the gifts that come with this, is only to witness of this pure of heart, that these things must be destroyed. So, I mean, think about it. You have healing on your physical body that's going to be, it's going to die. So what's the point of that? Makes no sense. What it's doing is it is witnessing in this realm the contrary to what this realm produces. This realm produces sickness. Well, the gift is to heal that sickness, but it is to show of this work that's happening behind the scene. That is not to be glorified, not the flesh, not this work, but is to reflect what's happening behind the scene in our actual soul itself. That's the purpose of these things. Not to preach these things and glorify that. That's the secondary. And that's what this whole church world does. And I'm coming against it. You know, this is what it's all about. I will come against all of it, all the darkness. The same thing as the natural realm, the government. You know, they preach the same thing. The prosperity. You learn the knowledge in school and you get a good job and you prosper in this life. For what? You die. There's no purpose in any of this stuff unless you have the Lord Jesus Christ, truly have him, and you experience this stuff. So the rapture itself is going to happen because of the two witnesses. This is what it's all about. The two witnesses are going to come on the scene here. They have experienced a complete transformation within their heart. They have been completely freed from all sin. This is the final work that Jesus Christ, this is the capstone of Jesus Christ. All the seven church ages have experienced portions of this. These two individuals are going to experience a full measure of it. And they're going to witness about this. And how they're going to witness about this is because nothing's going to harm them. I'm going to go on next week. I'm going to talk about the two witnesses more. But I want to speak a little bit on this rapture here. The point of it is Lucifer and his army have been sitting and squatting in the spiritual realm for eons. They haven't been removed yet. They're still the god of this realm, and they still are in the heavenly places. They have to be removed. And that is the point, first and foremost, that is what's going to happen when the bride of Christ resurrects. They are going to command Michael and his angels to go forward and to remove Lucifer. And that's where you have the second half of the tribulation, the 3.5 years of great tribulation. And the reason why it's great tribulation is because Satan is being cast out. The seven vials, each vial is a portion of him being cast out, slowly, cleansing of the spiritual realm. You know, and this is what we are being empowered to do. Where's the church world saying any of this stuff? None of them are. Not one. Why aren't they? It's because God has it this way. He is the commander in chief. He is the great king. He has us all where we are at this very moment. So that there's not one of us can say anything that we have done anything to please him. He has it all purposed this way. And how he's going to prove it is the two witnesses. They're going to expose everything. And no one's going to be able to stop them. No one. For 3.5 years, they're going to witness. I believe me, they're going to be doing a lot of stuff that raises a lot of bells and whistles and everything because of what they're going to do over in Israel, especially in Jerusalem. You know, this world system, which is America, who is going to be the beast system, is going to come against them eventually. But for the first 3.5 years, it's going to be Israel. Israel's going to try to put them to death. They ain't going to be able to. I'm talking about the unbelieving Israel, not the spiritual side, not the ones that are looking for Jesus Christ or the Messiah. They're gonna know it too. They're going to find it. That's why Zechariah chapter 12, 13, 14 talks about this. That when they come on the scene and they witness in power, that Israel, the true Israel, they're going to see it. Why? Because there's going to be power to see it then. They haven't received the power to receive it, to see the truth of who God is. God hasn't showed it to them. He's kept them in blindness. But through them, the eyes are going to be open. So this is a little bit about what I wanted to get into. I really wanted to speak on this church world today and how horrible it is. And it's for a purpose. You know, it's the binding of the tares, and it is for the perfection of the saints of God. You know, even the Bride of Christ, when I speak of the Bride of Christ, it is through William Branham, Raymond Jackson, and the fivefold ministry of that vein of truth. And they're scattered throughout all the world. And yet they're almost as bad as, maybe even worse at this moment. They have no clue what's going on. I mean, they have some ideas of things they've been given, but they can't piece anything together. And God has that purpose too. So that when these two witnesses come on the scene, and the Bride of Christ, who already has a little bit of oil within them because they have believed thus far, they will be spanked too. But in that, it will bring God glory, because it's not about our strength. It's not about who we think we are and our self-righteousness. It needs to be dealt with, all of it, across the board. You know, and this is the hour we're living in. You know, it's going to get rough. The bride herself is going to experience a hardship coming up here because, you know, they have been walking in the truth for so long, and yet these two witnesses are going to come on the scene and say something that is almost contrary to who they are. You know, it's going to be something they're going to have to digest. You know, it's going to be a fearful thing. But they can be confident in the two witnesses because the power that the two witnesses are displaying and what they are doing is going to settle their heart and the rest of the world. Next week, I am going to talk about the two witnesses. All right, so this is Young Man the Prophet podcast. I'm its host, Matthew Espenlaub. If you want to learn anything more about what I'm saying, you can always go onto my website. It's youngmantheprophet.com. If you want to talk to me, shoot me an email. It's on my website under the contact page. Next week, I'm going to speak on the two witnesses, I think. God willing, I'm going to. And may you have get something out of what I said today by the grace of God behind the scene, working on your hearts, opening up the truth by the angels of the Lord. May God perfect the elect.